O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you.
Grace and peace and love from our home to yours. Welcome to Worship with Pine Street Church at Home Edition on this second Sunday after Epiphany, January 17, 2021, and also on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend as well. We'll be talking today about what it means and the power of what it means to be seen, and also the power of what it means to see. In one way or another, in the Christian mystical tradition, the great saints of the church have said, we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. And so we'll be using the Gospel of John today, chapter 1, Jesus calling some of his first disciples, saying, come and see. And Philip's welcome to Nathanael, come and see, that great skeptic Nathanael. And so we'll be talking about how Jesus saw Nathanael and this whole invitation to all of us then and now, of what it means to come and see, this journey of discovery and experimentation that we call Christianity and following God in the way of Jesus. Well, I hope that you received the midweek update last Wednesday evening. There's a lot to be looking forward to at Pine Street Church. On January 31, 2 weeks from today, will be our annual meeting at 11:30 a.m. We'll hold that virtually via Zoom. This is a time when we celebrate ministry accomplishments over the last 12 months. We'll be looking ahead to the next 12 months. We will approve a 2021 financial plan, otherwise called a budget, and we will be voting on a slate of nominees for our standing committees for the next 12 months. So January 31, 11:30 a.m. via Zoom, our annual meeting. Also Wednesday, February 17 is the beginning of the season of Lent. 40 days plus 6 Sundays, 46 days leading up to Easter Sunday. Our Lenten theme this year is again and again, and so we are going to be taking a deep dive into that theme. Again, check out last Wednesday night's midweek update to learn more, and also today's Pine Street Post. The Pine Street Post is the best way for you to stay connected. It's the main communication channel for our church. And so I invite you to check that out. If you haven't subscribed, go to pinestreetchurch.net. Hit the subscribe button for the Pine Street Post. I also want you to know there's a little bit of a pop-up learning faith formation class coming up. It will be on the Psalms, the Hebrew Psalms. The theme is yesterday and today. It will be led by Dr. Bill Mankin, starting on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., January 26. This will be a 6 to 8 week study of the Hebrew Psalms, you know, their form, their types, their use in the ancient world, use in private and public worship today. And so the group will be studying in some detail one or two psalms of several types, and then the group will be writing a contemporary psalm of the same type that I'm pretty sure will make its way into Sunday morning worship as well. Thank you, Dr. Bill Mankin, for leading that group. Again, the Psalms starting on Tuesday night, January 26 at 7 p.m. As always, I invite you to share this video worship with your family and friends. Forward the email that you got this morning, or check us out, Pine Street Church, on social media, and share this morning's worship experience, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And the same goes for our brand new creative project, Hyphenated Life. We'll start releasing new episodes in early February for Hyphenated Life, and our off-Broadway preschool as well. So we are on all these social media channels that hopefully you will take advantage of and share the love. Sharing is caring. I learned from the little people in my life, so I hope that you will be doing that as well. Well, thank you for joining us for worship this morning, and I hope that this is a time of inspiration, of comfort, of motivation, and a time where we can truly see with the eyes of our hearts, to have our eyes opened to the Spirit of God, to the signs of the Spirit that are all around us. And so let us begin this morning's worship with this prayer of invocation. Come where we are, O creating God. Catch us by surprise with your good presence, life-giving as air. Open our hearts to receive you. Open our minds to attend you. And open our spirits to be present to you as you are present to us. Come to us in our longing. Come struggle with us in our searching. And in this hour of worship, rejuvenate us in mind, body, and spirit, so that our love will be renewed for you and for ourselves and for each other. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of John. Hear these words. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us, let us all say, "Thanks be to God." Well, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Come and see. This is what Jesus asked his first two recruits right before today's gospel story. One of the first two disciples whose curiosity compelled him was Andrew. Andrew then found his brother, Simon, and as soon as Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You'll now be called Peter." How's that for first impressions? I'm going to change your name. Peter and Andrew join up with Jesus and they go with him to Galilee. And right away, we hear that Jesus found Philip. Philip happened to be from the same small hometown as Peter and Andrew, Bethsaida, guys whose families probably knew each other. Maybe they had been business partners. Maybe they, you know, bumped into each other at the street food stand in the town square, that sort of thing. And before we know it, Philip found Nathanael. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That's a deep question. Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Nathanael coming toward Jesus, Jesus says, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." I mean, how magnetic of a man Jesus had to be to find four followers in 5 minutes as he begins to put together what amounts to the cabinet of the Christ movement. As we are on the brink, of course, of Inauguration Week, just a little homiletical imagination for you. Jesus is putting together his cabinet, his spiritual cabinet. People who would head up his movement, who would follow him, who would help him to create a movement that involved loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, here we are, and it starts with this impeccable invitation, the Jesus movement, I mean, come and see. Three loaded and powerful words, an invitation. And I might add to come and see, come and be seen. And sure, these guys had seen Jesus. They saw something in him that made them gravitate to him and to do it so quickly. I mean, not a whole lot of information to go on, no negotiations or background checking or anything much except what they saw in front of their faces. And it would be easy to be cynical and skeptical. Nathanael was. He asks, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip copycats Jesus from the text prior to today's gospel story and says to him, "Come and see." God only knows what all went into Nathanael being so cautious. But we do know he went from being cautious to committed when Jesus sees Nathanael. Like someone who walks into the room and breaks through all of your defenses and says, "There you are. You are such a truly beautiful person. All that goodness and truth. What a gift you are." Now, that's a little bit of a paraphrase of what Jesus says when he sees Nathanael. But still, Jesus may be charming, maybe seeing through and to Nathanael for who he really was. "Here you are." No pretension, no phoniness, no false faces, just a deep seeing that caused Nathanael to drop the mask of his own skepticism and cynicism, to drop his defenses. I mean, this is what the power of being seen can do. So I would start today by asking, who in your life truly sees you? Someone who you trust, who sees right through you to that face that you had before you were born, as the Buddhists say. Someone who sees you for who you really are. Someone who sees you for who you can become. Someone that you don't have to constantly explain yourself to because they simply see you. I see you. And isn't that what we're all searching for, even when we don't know that's what we're searching for? to be seen, to be accepted, to be validated, to be embraced, to belong, to be known. That's magnetic. There's energy and passion and compassion that drives that desire to say yes to more of that, please, and to say yes to come and see. Come and see. Come and be seen. Come and see is the original gospel invitation. It's an invitation to discovery. It's a way of letting curiosity take the lead when we don't have all of the answers to start with. It is an invitation to becoming, being in process, taking things one step at a time, one day at a time. That invitation to come and see, honestly, it's one of my favorite phrases in all the Gospels. It fascinates me. It beckons me forward. And I wonder if Jesus had that magnetism of seeing others like he saw Nathanael because, you know, who knew himself as someone who was seen. Nathanael knew himself as someone who was seen. And I think part of the reason that Jesus had that sort of magnetism is because Jesus felt and knew himself as seen, S-E-E-N, seen at his baptism for who he really was. Remember, this is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased. This is to say that Jesus gathering up his first disciples wasn't some generic, you know, cobbling together of random strangers, maybe at some shallow level. These were real people. Real faces, real names with real stories. And these first followers of Jesus who were seen, well, lo and behold, they said yes to three words loaded with that possibility and surely some intrigue, come and see. Well, that piques my curiosity. It's not a call to believe all the right things, to be able to ace some biblical or theological exam. It was, and it still is, an invitation. It's an invitation to you. It's an invitation to me. It's an invitation to the world to take a deeper dive into our own lives and into the life of our faith that is more, no more, and no less, say it with me now, fully human. A rich donor was visiting Calcutta and met Mother Teresa. She pulled out her checkbook and said, how can I help you in your work? Mother Teresa pressed the checkbook back into the woman's purse, took her by the hand and said, come and see. She led the woman into an impoverished barrio and found a hungry, frail child. And Mother Teresa said to the woman, care for her. The woman took the child in her lap, wiped her brow, and fed her. Mother Teresa was right when she said, when we care for a child, we are caring for Jesus. The least of these, right? When we love the unloved, we are loving Jesus. Be seen. Come and see. May the eyes of your eyes be opened, to paraphrase the great poet E.E. Cummings. Well, Ahmed Safi is the professor of Islamic studies at Duke University, and I love what he writes about this idea of the ways we see, what we see, how we see. And he writes, like when we are not seen and are instead erased and made into the other. To be erased, who we are, our identity, our skin color, our cultural experience, to be erased and seen and scapegoated as other. He writes, institutions, communities, and nations, they move somewhat slowly. Been in the church for a while? Do you know how slowly churches can move? Right? There is no inevitable progress towards inclusion and liberation, he writes. Sometimes the arc of the moral universe, he's taking from Dr. King, I believe, Sometimes the arc of the moral universe does bend towards the good, the just, and the lovely, but it happens slowly. There is much too much backsliding, he writes. We as a human community are living through one such age right now. When the arc of the moral universe does bend towards justice, it is at least in part because some among us vow to see one another fully. We vow to not overlook the fullness of humanity in anyone. Institutions are made of people, and sometimes there are those who make the bold decision to see others, to make sure that we are all seen. We have to see all of each other, and we have to see all of us. I know that we are all trying to still wrap our minds around what happened on January 6th, Epiphany Day, at the U.S. Capitol. What we saw in real time, right before our eyes, was horrifying. And you can read and find and hear in one place or another the fact that for Black Americans who were watching as rioters bullied their way into the U.S. Capitol building, the temple of our democracy, many were thinking, what if these rioters were Black? What if these rioters were Black? The racist double standard in our country was on full display on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. It wasn't a surprise to racial injustice protesters who in 2020 were subjected to force from law enforcement officers. Bring out the tear gas. Where are the tanks? Where's the National Guard? Where was all of that last Wednesday, January 6th? The Capitol rioters benefited not only from a double standard, but also, let me say it again, a white privilege that must be addressed, and addressed by the church, addressed by Christians, and frankly, addressed by white Christians. Those rioters benefited from being white that day. That's got to be addressed. And so must reckless rhetoric that leads to that kind of violence. These rioters, these white rioters on January 6th were not seen as a threat. A limerick by Lindsay Horner sums this up. A mob of the MAGA persuasion conducted a capital invasion. Though they were armed, they parted unharmed, and that's how you know they're Caucasian. What a stark contrast to Dr. Martin Luther King's vision of nonviolence, yes? We need to hear and heed his voice and vision now more than ever, especially us white people. And if you feel resistance to that, you might want to pay attention to that all the more. A violent mob of white people are protesters. That's how the culture sees it. At least that's how some people in our culture see it. And yet a peaceful protest with Black people is seen as violent mobsters. I'm wearing glasses today. We all wear eyeglasses. We all have astigmatisms. Optics. It's the way we see that determines who has rights and who doesn't have rights, the people who don't have rights. Always avoid violence, Dr. King said. If you succumb to the temptation of using violence in your struggle, unborn generations will be the recipients of a long and desolate night of bitterness, and your chief legacy to the future will be an endless reign of meaningless chaos. Can we hear that afresh today? How do we see? Why do we see what we see? I want to take just a couple of minutes for us to watch a vision of peaceful and nonviolent protest that sees humanity and dignity in all people and for all people. Because what do we see when we see a face? Martin Luther King Jr., again, his weekend here, right? Dreamed of a day when we could see facial color, to see the beauty of all spectrum of facial colors, but even more deeply into the content of character. God sees this clearly. We and all the others are fully seen by God. What will it take to cleanse our lens, to be able to see the way God sees once and for all? That's happening slowly, and that moral arc of the universe bends slowly, but it bends toward justice. I want us to watch this 1963 archival footage of the March on Washington. Watch this. I'm so curious about what you saw in that archival footage there from 1963. What did you see in those scenes? My friends, seeing, being seen, by the way, intimacy, there's this wonderful double meaning to it, into me see, intimacy, into me see. Being seen and saying yes to the invitation to come and see is part of the origin story of the Jesus movement. And it showed up throughout Jesus' ministry too. I mean, healing of the blind is one way. And today we need our own blind eyes healed. There seems to be so much about spirituality, about Christian reality that is about seeing. Not so much what we see, but how we see. And how we see ourselves in relation to God, to wealth, to suffering, to economic systems, to the poor, those who look and sound and think like us. I love this from French-Cuban-American writer Anais Nin. He puts it right, I think. We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are. We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are. Projection. God help us to have people around us that truly see us for who we are, for who we can yet still become. It's that power of being seen that can lead us with curiosity and courage to embrace Jesus' call to come and see. I finish with this. I wish that I could tell you, and many of you know that I can't, that I've always had this, you know, clear sense of my own self-worth. Well, I haven't. I know that I'm white, I'm male, I'm privileged. Check all the boxes about why, you know, I should feel all of this importance. But I've had a deficit of self-worth in my own life. I've struggled with seeing myself as worthy of acceptance and love. And my own healing and growth has happened because I've had fresh voices and faces in my life who remind me of my own worth, endowed by God, and that voice that calls me and you beloved. To be seen is to know by heart our inherent dignity as human beings, and to give that gift of being seen to others we meet along the way, those who feel invisible and isolated and afraid. And the truth of the matter is that I needed someone, or someone's, to let me know that I was seen, to feel like I belonged, to feel validated, to feel accepted, to feel loved. And my guess is that whether or not you struggle with self-worth, whether or not you know you do or not, that you need that too. We all do. And to let that power be unleashed in a world that too often sees only what is at the surface of things. Christ calls us to see the thing beneath the thing. That Christ superpower that helps us see through the fluff and the phony baloney that would render people to feel invisible and worthless and expendable. My friends, I will if you will. Let us be the reason, someone feels welcome and seen and heard and valued and loved and supported. To be seen, to come and see, to come and see and be seen. May we live like this. May we see each other for who we are, for what we are. May we face each other, seeing and being seen, loving and being loved. May we see all of each other. May we see all of us. May we be seen. Be seen, come and see. Come and see, be seen. See? Amen. My friends, thank you for taking time to be part of your Sunday with us, with Pine Street Church At Home Worship Edition. I pray that you will feel God's peace and presence as we walk into an historic week in the life of our country. I pray that the eyes of your eyes will be opened and that you will feel loved and cared for and enveloped by God's grace in whatever your week will look like this week. You are not alone. This is the power of community. And it's also a time for us to know the power of God seeing us, that God sees our faces, that God knows our names, and that God intends joy and wholeness and shalom for us personally, for our life together, and for the life of our world. So with that in mind, remember who you are. You are sons and daughters of God. You are friends and disciples of Christ Jesus. And the love and the peace and the joy and the justice and the beauty and the generosity of God are forever at loose through you. Go now and live like it is true. Amen. Thank you.
sleep.